You're listening to the My Money, My Lifestyle podcast with me, Maya Fisher-French.
And with me, Mapalo Maku.
This week's episode is part of the Marriott Investment Series, where we focus on investing and specifically investing for a sustainable income. Mapalo, I was at an investment conference a couple of weeks ago, and one of the asset managers spoke about an opportunity and an international company that runs oil rigs. And they said, because it's been such negative sentiment towards oil and oil rigs, that the share price had dropped really significantly. And in fact, if you look at the value of those oil rigs, the value of the company is half of what the value of all those oil rigs are. And they saw a huge buying opportunity there for the share, which they believe could re-rate and make their clients quite a bit of money. And I felt uncomfortable. Well, there's a reason the oil rigs, people are discounting oil rigs. Yes. There's a problem with oil drilling in the sea. And, I mean, do you ever think about this when you invest? You always think, okay, I'd like to make money, but I want to make money in a way that's good for the planet.
The planet and sustainable. Absolutely, Maya. For me, it's actually one of the things I'm very passionate about. And I think we've spoken extensively about impact investing. When I invest or any of my friends invest, we normally talk about, you know, is this thing good for the earth? But at the same time, Maya, I do want to make some money. Right?
Let's be honest.
I'm being really honest here. Right?
Can we find a balance between looking after the environment? Because there's three parts. There's corporate governance, there's social governance, and there's also environmental.
Yes.
And is it possible, A, for all three of those to coexist?
Mm.
And is it possible to invest in companies that look at those, the triple bottom line, as it's called, and still make money? So I thought, you know, as part of this investment series we're doing with Marriott, I've called back Lawrence Kutsia and Duggan Matthews again.
They are in the hot seat.
They're in the hot seat because they're going to have to try and figure out how Mapalo can make money and still sleep at night.
I think that's the question.
So I suppose my question is there such a thing as a good company? And I'm being not as a good citizen company.
Yeah.
Or is that just window dressing?
I think it's a tricky one. We all, of course, all want to do the right thing and do good things.
Yeah.
But as you rightfully mentioned, we also need to increase our wealth, and companies need to be profitable. So in terms of your question, are there good companies? I think they are. Are they all good companies? I think they aren't. You know, I think there's a cost benefit to just about every company that you look at. Most companies will do some things that are beneficial to society at large. But having said that, from a different perspective, they might also be doing some harm. So I think as an investor, the best you really can do, if we're honest with ourselves, is to be investing in companies that are doing net good. So the good that they're doing for the world is more than the harm that they're doing. And because at the end of the day, that type of model is a sustainable one. It's one that will endure. And at the end of the day, from our perspective, we're looking for sustainable growing dividends to endure for long periods of time. So from that sustainability question is a very important question for us, and we certainly choose not to invest in businesses that we think are exploiting either the environment, society, or don't have good governance practices, because at the end of the day, that's exploiting the shareholder. But it is tricky, and it's adopting a holier-than-thou approach, I think, is difficult.
Because we started this podcast, we landed up discussing Sasol. So, I mean, sorry to pick on Sasol, but I mean, Sasol is a polluter.
Biggest polluter in the world.
The biggest polluter in the world, people. Yeah, I mean, that's actually not something you want the label for.
I think that was for one of the is it the biggest in the world? I didn't know that.
Or certainly the biggest in South Africa. Yeah. I don't know.
But it's up there.
It's a really, really big polluter. But Doug, your response, when we were going, Sasol, terrible, and you admitted you don't invest in Sasol, but you had a counter-argument.
Well, no, I'm not. We don't invest in Sasol, but I think from a society, if you looked at it maybe from an employment perspective, Sasol, a huge company in South Africa, employs a lot of people. A lot of people derive their their livelihoods from working for Sasol, from a tax take perspective. And South Africa is in a very constrained fiscal position. The government will benefit immensely from the tax that it's generates from Sasol. So there are some perspectives where Sasol is doing some good, but perhaps one could argue that the environmental damage
for me
supersedes the good it does from other perspectives.
Yeah.
So once again, the emphasis there is just on trying to highlight that these things are tricky. They're not necessarily all straightforward, as opposed to trying to condone, the negative impact Sasol has on our environment.
Yeah.
I think the challenge for Sasol is to try and move to more natural energy while keeping employment, especially in South Africa with some of the social issues.
It is a fine balance.
It's a fine balance.
But, you can't, the next generation of children that are going to be born in a highly polluted environment also.
But also, Maya, for me, one of the companies that just stand out, okay, and I would not put my money in, Facebook.
Facebook.
Sure.
That we landed up. That is it. Facebook's another
because
one.
Because remember
we
were watching that documentary. What
the
is it called?
The Greatest Hack.
The Great Hack.
A Great Hack.
Yes.
Great hack.
Really just going into detail about Facebook. Yeah, you must watch it.
Okay.
And it's interesting because Facebook is not in the MSCI's Green Index. Their Sustainability Index.
Okay.
So they've got an index where they take out companies that they believe are, don't meet corporate, social, or environmental.
Mm.
And Facebook's not in there.
Yeah.
Which suggests there's a big corporate. There would be corporate, I suppose, perhaps.
Yeah.
Your comment? Twitch on the spot.
This is going to be a lovely podcast. It feels like, from what perspective, once again? I mean, Facebook has done immense good in helping oppressed societies be heard. So once again, you could say from that perspective, it's empowered people. But then if you look at it from a mental health perspective,
people get addicted to it.
Maybe a question back to you guys is list 10 companies that are just all good.
That'll make you sleep at night.
When you try to go through that process, you find that at the end of the day, there are these trade-offs. It is always a cost-benefit analysis. And hence our emphasis at merit is be net good. Because at the end of the day, that's likely to be more sustainable.
Yeah.
Well, a critical thing for me is that if we focus on companies that are able to grow their profits and earnings and be able to pay out reliable dividends to shareholders in the future. Now, management are completely aware of the fact that if they, are doing things that society doesn't like, or they're doing something that's not sustainable, that will make that dividend not reliable into the future. So I think management globally are aligned to this. It's just, I think it's becoming more and more prevalent, and we're going to see improvements in the years ahead, especially from a social perspective.
What's great about that, Lois, I think it's not because the managers of these businesses have just woken up and thought, jeepers, I'm just going to change. Exactly. It's because society is demanding it of corporates.
Yeah.
And that's been driven by the millennial consumer that is very conscious about the impact companies are having on the environment in particular.
Yeah.
And that is a great positive thing because the management teams of businesses around the globe are waking up to the fact that if we want to be in business 10 to 15 years' time,
we need to adapt
our practices to make sure we're doing even more good.
I'll give you an example. This is a small example. Nestle, a lot of their products are sugary products, but they found a way to hollow out the sugar molecule so that that's 40% less sugar.
Really? My son, normally, the fruit juice that you normally buy, I wouldn't buy it from anywhere. I'd definitely make my own, but Nestle has taken out quite a lot of sugar from that.
There's society telling you that I don't want too much sugar because it's bad. Mm-hmm. And then companies go,
they've responded to that
need, kind of.
Yeah.
And also another, Nestle, you look at it at the face of it and you think, all good, right? Feeds the world. biggest food producer in the world. But obviously, packaging is a big issue globally. If we look at the plastic in our oceans, and Nestle is on a path, I think, by 2025 to make sure all the goods that they package, that packaging is completely recyclable, recyclable, reusable, which once again is being driven by all of us, by consumers that have had enough of unsustainable practices, and we're seeing behavioral changes in management teams, which is a great thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Note to self. Right?
Yeah.
With Nestle.
Well, I wanted to ask you that exact question was what kind of companies, if you could maybe give us a South African example as well, because I know you do locally, how do you unpack a company? How do you make that? Do you talk to management? Do you look at the annual reports? Do you watch that they do what they say? Because remember, I spoke about window dressing, and we know there are corporates that are window dressing.
We absolutely do. It relates to the fact that we're looking to ensure sustainable dividend growth from the companies that we invest in. So ultimately, you have to look at things from a long-term perspective. So if I think about that opportunity you discussed at the intro to the show about
oil rigs
and the fact that there was a discount to net asset value, that would be quite a short-term approach, and that might suit a specific way of investing. If your emphasis is capital growth, maybe that's an opportunity. But remember, what we're doing is we're thinking, I want reliable growing dividends, not for the next 2 years, I want reliable growing dividends for the next 20, forever.
20, yes.
So if you're looking for that, you're looking for sustainability. And so a question we ask ourselves when we look at any company is this model sustainable? Is the behavior of the company in any way exploitative? Because we think if you're exploiting a section of society or the environment, at the end of the day, you're going to be found out. And is your governance, is your reporting up to standard? Because if it's not, at the end of the day, the shareholder could be exploited. So it's we pass all the companies we invest in through those filters, asking those questions to make sure that what we invest in generates sustainable growing dividends at the end of the day.
Yeah. So how does investing for sustainable income protect you against major blowouts like Steinhoff?
We mentioned the S word.
Because you were talking about corporate governance.
I mean, would that must be a classic example of sustainability?
It's a great example. It's the accounting, the financial statements of Steinhoff ended up being extremely complicated as they ventured more and more offshore.
Yes.
And there were a lot of smoke signals and a few red flags around governance. So if you're thinking about sustainable growing dividends, that has to be a red flag. So we had no exposure to Steinhoff.
I was about to ask.
And that is because we were worried about future dividends. And as we know, Steinhoff is still around today, but it's not paying dividends. And I think speaks to how our approach and how sustainable dividend investing or growing dividend investing really links to investing in sustainable companies.
Now, I think the beauty of when you focus on dividends and you believe that this company has a sustainable business model that's going to be able to grow its profits in the years ahead, it's generally a simple business model that you can understand. When it gets too complex, you can come to a place where there's uncertainties, and I think Steinhoff is one of them. But if you look at what we've been able to miss in the last few years from a South African perspective, we've done really well, and we're the first to tell you that we're not going to miss them all. But if you focus on dividends and sustainable growing profits, we've missed the resilience, we've missed the Steinhoffs, we've missed the African banks, the Tongaat more recently. So as I said, we're not going to miss them all, but the process and the investment filtering that we take place in Marriott is to try and reduce risk, to try and miss these corporate governance type of issues that you're talking about.
And at the end of the day, it boils down to thinking long term.
Yeah.
It's if you're thinking 10 years down the track, ESG issues are going to be massive to you.
Yeah.
And I think that actually is really what the answer is that if you want to make money, especially over the long term, you have to be investing sustainably. It's actually, they're linked.
Absolutely.
It's not about this whole idea that if I invest sustainably, I'm going to get lower returns. You're actually going to get better sustainable returns.
What is investing unsustainably?
Yes.
I wouldn't sign up for that. So I think it's just a very it's actually just good common sense to think along the lines of a sustainable business model.
Yeah.
Mm.
And something that is sustainable is something that does more good than harm.
Mm. But also for me, Maya, what I'm getting is, you know, what we always say, invest in things that you understand, right?
I know, I'm a big believer in
that. Yeah, yeah. And that's just also kind of what I'm getting, that, you know what, the type of companies that you guys have spoken of, you understand the business model. You know, understand that people need to eat.
You probably buy the products.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
And I'm going to throw a curveball here.
Thanks, Maya.
We're talking about investing in things you understand and impacts on environment. One who looks at cryptocurrencies, that would be an interesting example for sustainability in terms of energy usage. We've actually just had a whole podcast on energy
usage, Maya. No, you remember that whole mining?
No, that's what I'm saying. That's my point. So we did a podcast two weeks ago on cryptocurrencies and looking at it as an investment. But I mean, from that perspective, have you guys looked at all, not to invest in it, but just applied your minds in terms of?
I wish they could see your faces right now.
Yeah. Looking like, okay. I'm just going to give you an honest answer. No, we haven't really considered it from that angle. Cryptocurrency won't pay you a dividend.
No.
Yeah.
So, once again, trying to predict what a cryptocurrency is going to be worth in 5 or 10 years' time is very difficult.
Yeah.
So from that perspective,
it would not meet your investment.
I think the one thing that we do think that could be useful is it cuts out a lot of the fees on transactional basis. So that's interesting, and we the companies that we invest in, we think will use these type of improvements over time and will benefit from them.
Yeah. Absolutely.
So that's where we think about these things.
I mean, it's technology growth.
Yes, that's actually what it is. Yeah.
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 But as you say, from the energy usage perspective,
it's a big problem.
Hence, it's hard to throw too many stones at too many people.
We're going through saying, well, like, is my business a good business? I mean, there's still going to be things that I do that, you know, I flew up here, for this podcast.
Yeah.
You know, I fly around to South Africa a lot. That's very unsustainable. so maybe I need to be cycling.
Reevaluate. You're going to cycle from Cape Town to here, right?
Yeah. Oh, you got to balance this net good.
Look at the net good.
Well, I think it was a really great and robust discussion.
Yeah.
And if you're enjoying our investment series, please send us your questions to maya@myarmoney.co.za. And in our next investment episode in 2 weeks' time, that's the 29th of November, we're going to be focusing on offshore investing. Should you invest offshore? How much? And if so, how? So that's a wrap for today. If our listeners would like to learn more about these or any money-related topics, they can go to the City Press website or to your website,
womanandfinance.co.za,
or my website, mayaonmoney.co.za.
And if you have any questions or comments, you can send us a WhatsApp voice note to 064-554-3959, and we look forward to hearing from you.
Because we want to know what it is that you want to know. You've been listening to the My Money, My Lifestyle podcast, featuring the contributors of the City Press personal finance pages.